You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
So my son, my 15-month-old son,
okay,
started walking.
I thought you were going to say driving.
I think we're almost there, so I was happy about that. He started walking just like three, four weeks ago.
Yeah.
No baby steps, you know, two, three steps, and then boom, he fall to the ground.
It's cute every time it happens.
Okay, we've seen all the America's Funniest Home videos.
When I do it, not as cute. You're spilling Hennessy everywhere, Alexis.
We've been trying to help him with this. Why are you drinking Hennessy out of a baby bottle, Alexis?
So I don't spill it, but it's still happening.
So, a couple weeks ago, started walking. What a great time in any child's life.
This is a watershed moment in this child's career.
The family couldn't be prouder. We're very happy.
You're proud, as if you had anything to do.
Okay. And then yesterday, he is now opening doors.
Let's go. Kid's trying to get out.
He is walking at a very fast pace.
Yeah. Sneaky fast, these kids.
It was just, you know.
As someone who doesn't have children, that sound like a sus sentence.
Why are they so evasive?
And why are there cops in this park? Is what it sounded like I was saying. I was like, because my nephew, anytime
you gotta tell me if you're a cop, this is entrapment, dude.
I'm yelling at that child. No, it's. But when I was helping raise my nephew, whenever I had to like watch him, I'd be like, how the fuck did he get over there?
Yeah. It's very, very fast.
You were just here. I can't get over there in that
time. It is pretty wild. Obviously, this is my first kid, so I've never witnessed how fast the progression happens. Because, like I said, it was two, three steps, Neymar dive at the World
yeah,
Cup.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
It was really adorable. Roll.
Yeah.
And like a couple tears.
Yeah.
And now it is just like.
He's juking.
Yeah. Now it's like, since he's opening doors, I'm like, bro, I can't let you in.
Yeah.
You can't just go into the bedroom or bathroom or open the front. You open the front door.
Nah, that's crazy.
And it's like, I can't let you in. And then he's like getting frustrated.
Well, how do you know he didn't order Uber Eats?
It's like, the guy's downstairs.
Yeah. He's just got a titty.
just a heavy breast filled with
a lot
milk.
A lot of leche.
So it is. It's just like when I don't let him open the door, he's like, getting mad. I'm like, bro, you serious?
Yeah.
You just figured this out. You're going too fast. You know what I mean? Like these kids these days, they gotta slow down. You know what I mean?
They're so fast.
So shout out to Mateo for walking.
That's a beautiful thing.
So welcome to the show, everybody.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
We're excited to be back after Copa America has begun. The U.S. Men's National Team has now started their campaign with a victory against Bolivia. We're gonna talk about that. We got to talk about the Euros.
You're Christian Polanco, by the way, and I'm Alexis Guerrero, just in case.
Yeah, I wasn't going to get to that, but you know what? Don't let me do my job.
Normally, you don't do the beginning part until you say that. So I was like, oh, the kid forgot.
I was going to get there, but yes, it's been a fun weekend of footy. We also did a really fun stand-up show over the weekend at The Ground.
Just a yoga comedy.
Sean Zorn, who invited us to do the show, a stand-up comedian here in New York City. So we got to do stand-up, and then we got to play soccer.
Well, relax. The theme is
the theme.
You could, if you wanted to, play do comedy and then play soccer.
Uh-huh. You that was an option. Mm-hmm. You did not partake.
I did the first part.
You did the first part.
I thought I did the first part pretty well. And they were like, "Do you want to play?" And I'm like, "That's hilarious." Yeah, already, yeah. We still got jokes, huh? All right, folks. I'm out of here.
So yeah, we both did sets, and then we played soccer.
I did get a nice video of you though.
Thank you.
I went soccer mom.
You didn't record when I did anything positive.
Well, it's not like you told me now I'm going to do something positive. I recorded you getting the ball taken away from you, and I'm like, he's probably not going to want that. And immediately you score afterwards. I'm like, what happened?
How? Look, I mean, you saw some of the – I scored like 3 goals.
Yeah, I saw 2.
You
two
saw the 3. What'd you think?
I mean, come on. You already know. I know you got it.
Bro.
I'm also not going to lie. I missed the first one because there's that big part of the wall there.
Yeah, yeah. That just impedes your vision.
And had I gone either to the left or to the right, I would have been out of the air conditioning. I was staying in the air conditioning.
No, that is fair. Yeah, yeah. It was...
The room is brutal.
Yeah. The field itself is not air conditioned, but the rest of the place is.
Just just the one spot because they keep opening the door. So I was staying in that freeze frame.
But it was dope. So shout out to them. Thank you, to all the guys from Joga Comedy for the invitation.
And shouts to the ground for doing something
It was really, really fun. So it was a really cool experience. And I got to play soccer. We got to interact with, like, fans of the show. So it was like, you know, it's one of those things of, like, we told jokes, and then it was like, all right, well, you know, no slide tackles.
Shout
out
to Diego, who came all the way from Toronto, mostly to see Messi tomorrow. I also wanted to see you guys, and I saw you were doing a show, so I came early, which was really cool.
Which is really cool. So shout out to everybody that came through. So I should have put up the tweet and showed the photos and stuff. But, yeah, it was really cool. So shout out to everybody.
Shout out to Pico. I wore your shirt, Pico.
Pico,
yeah, Gabaldon Art.
Oh, that's right. And that's what was the from what team?
That was El Paso Locomotive.
Yes. So that
was their Dia de los Muertes.
Okay, yeah. All right. So shout out. Yeah, I had a good time. So all right, let's get to some U.S. men's national team stuff first, and then we'll talk about a little bit about the rest of Copa America and the Euros where we are so far.
Let's start with. The U.S. beats Bolivia, a Southern American team, the worst one, but the Southern American team.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, a Southern American team sounds...
South American team, yeah, good point.
A Southern American a South is American like somebody team. From Alabama.
Yeah. With the Republic of Georgia.
Bolivia Crimson Tide, right?
Oh, we also didn't mention that Miguelito is here.
I'm back. I'm
in
back
the
in building. New York.
In the building.
This is our final Meadowlark week.
This is the penultimate episode.
This is and the Thursday will be the final one. But Miguelito is here for those. So,
yes, very happy.
Apologies for not mentioning that.
And
sooner.
Then we have to drive somewhere near like farms, open the back door, and throw a stick.
And let Miguelito out.
Yeah, Miguelito chases him. And like, I thought you wanted this back.
No, that farm upstate just sounding super nice.
Yeah. Oh, I thought.
And then we drive back and shoot him in the head. That's what it sounded like. It's not like it was going to happen.
I thought the farm upstate was a euphemism. I didn't think it was a mafia hit.
No, Miguelito's going to have a long, storied career producing amazing shows and hopefully finds his way back to us.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
All right. So, all right. So, U.S. U.S.
All right.
Bolivia.
Enough of the emotion.
I'm just saying, we're going to get too emotional too quickly. Yeah. We'll save it.
Although we've come to the end of the road.
All right. Damn, Alexa.
That was good, bro. That was pretty good.
Bro, I got you, bro.
Okay.
I got so many talents, man.
Boys to hombres. Yeah. Anyway. USA.
Why now watch me run and open this door, dude. I'm so good.
USA beats Bolivia 2-0.
Okay, so this is the point. Yes, we won. The U.S. won 2-0 against Bolivia.
Yeah.
But give them a score. Give them a grade. Do you want to do 1 to 10 or do you want to do the A, B, C, D, E, F?
I mean, I saw Morning Footy and I saw your letter grade. So let's go with numbers.
Yeah, okay. Like
from
like
1 to 10. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Actually, shouts to One Football. Yo, One Football, brutal with their grading, bro. Yo, One Football, don't play. Is my mom in charge of ratings at One Football, bro?
He's like, you got an A, you didn't get an A+. Yo, so, I don't know.
If you didn't get an A+, you got a D. That's how One Football is.
Not in this family.
Yo, second place is last place. please. Go to One Football real quick and just look at these ratings.
One Football is just mad nobody in the USMNT became a doctor.
Bro. I mean, they're okay with but Bolivia? Yo, Bolivia got beef with One Football, bro.
Okay, so where do we see that matches over here? Okay.
So while you're doing this, are you able to do two things at once?
Yes, I am.
Do you think you can give me a score of 1 to 10? What would you give the overall USA performance? And you could go percent. You could go decimal point.
Decimal. I think it was an 8.2.
What?
That's where I, yeah. I was just chatting with Brandon London from New York Post and SNY. In general.
This is the whole team.
The whole team. I thought the U.S. collectively had a spectacular performance. They dominated Bolivia. They
yes,
did not.
But Bolivia's but very
still,
bad.
But still, could the only complaint that I think anybody can make is that the U.S. didn't score enough goals.
Okay, but
that
that's
is
part
it.
Of it. Mike. Yeah.
I was going to go high sevens. I was going to say like 7-8. Not like too far off from Christian.
A bit more respectable. I think if you're at 7 to 7.5 max, I think you're probably a little bit above. You're generous. But, bro.
8.2 is, wait, I mean, is that egregious of a difference?
Yeah.
Eight? Eight, yeah. I thought the team played very well. Who, outside of the misses, outside of the missed opportunities, who can you Tim Weah made, I mean, Tim Ream made one mistake that caused, like, a breakaway.
That's I thought Chris Richards was poor. I've seen him have better games. Scally going forward still offers you nothing, but we already knew that.
But I thought he defended well. I thought he controlled that part of the field very well.
Yeah.
I wasn't mad at anybody.
I don't know why the scores aren't on the website.
Yeah, I don't know either. What, they're on the app?
Yeah.
Okay. But I thought they played well. I get the complaint about sort of the, like I said, about like, you know, Balogun missing a couple chances, but he still got the goal. The goal he scored was harder than the chances that he missed. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But then Ricardo Pepi coming into the game and then immediately making a difference and having great, great opportunities and then not putting them away. That's where I left that game being like, oh man, like, especially when watching Uruguay Panama when they scored that third goal, I'm like, man, we should be at the
Panama
top.
Panama got one back, baby.
Exactly. So
just who was that? That's Murillo, right?
Yeah, it was
the
a great
old Rebel
goal.
Player, right? Yeah. He actually had a great game. Like, here's an example. All right, so Tim Weah. So you can't see this.
Yeah.
What grade would you give Tim Weah? Knowing the game he had, it probably wasn't the best game in the world, right? But I thought he was influential going forward. I don't think he lost the ball all that much. What grade would you give Tim Weah? On a scale of 1 to 10, percentage, like you could do percentiles. It doesn't matter if you're wrong.
To me, I think it's like low sevens.
Okay. What football gave him a 3.1?
What?
Yeah, bro, they are
this
vicious.
Has to be out of 5. This has to be
no,
out of
no, dude. Balogun got an 8.8.
Whoa.
Wow.
Fam.
I
3.1.
I do think.
If you only ran backwards, Fatmob would give you a 6.
I thought Tim Weah didn't affect the game as much as I would have wanted him to.
But his presence created, he stretched the field. He was very effective getting into the opponent's box.
Yeah.
I thought he had moments where I'm like, oh, okay, I'm seeing what the design is going to be with the Scally sitting back. Tim Weah can still get forward.
He can. Look, in this particular game, I just thought he didn't offer as much as and you could sort of see in his own body language. You could just see like he's frustrated with not being too affecting him as much as he wanted to. So
there was one moment where you could see like Tyler Adams even be like, bro, don't do that.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I'll do this. I'm not exactly sure what they were referencing. I think it was that he maybe didn't pass back or maybe did the pass that that Tyler is supposed to do.
Uh-huh.
But like, here's an example. What did...
Dude, 3.1 is just unrealistic, though. That's just, incorrect.
What game were you watching?
Yeah, that's just incorrect.
What about McKennie?
McKennie. So, I mean, we're looking at the FotMob one, and he got a 6.6. And
Even that feels
a little bit low, but I understand it. I think, you know...
Like a flat 7, maybe, for McKennie?
How about a 4.2?
Dude,
so we know One Football is the bar is quite high.
Yeah.
So, but even you just mentioned Balogun getting how much? 8.8?
Yeah.
That's
He got the goal, and if it wasn't for Tim Weah being offside, he would have had a second goal. So,
but that seems wild. 8.8 for Balogun is crazy. Like, because even we're looking at Fatmaman and it's 7.3, and that seems a little bit more fair. So it seems like they're praising and highlighting the goal scorers probably a little too much.
Yo, this is awesome. Look at this. What football has this, like, virtual reality thing?
It's augmented reality. You're doing
it. It's kind of crazy, bro.
Put the ISO on Alexis because I got happy.
Yo, you tap a player's face, it opens. But look, I could go, look, now I'm in Bolivia, bro. What's my guy Miranda up to? This froze. Hold on, we back.
All right. Alexis.
All right. You want to know Miranda's pass accuracy? 78%. I know that clicked on it. That's
okay,
crazy.
Well, we're learning. Obviously, we're going to be part of the One Football family next week. So we're getting.
Bro, what grades are they going to give us? Oh, my God.
One Football, be kind to us, please. Yo, we're trying our best out here.
Chill, be easy. Don't do us like you did way up.
Man, it's
here's what I'll disagree with their score line is Pulisic got an 8.8 and so did Balogun. Where Pulisic had two goal contributions.
Yeah.
Balogun
yeah.
had one.
It seems, okay. It seems a little.
Bro, did Flair and Balogun do the ratings for one football?
It seems a little skewed. Yeah. But okay. So overall, I think the team played pretty well against this particular opponent. And we know the competition is only going to get a little bit, not a little bit, it's going to get a lot more difficult. Right. But. To play like this against Bolivia, against a team that they know that they're better than, mm-hmm. against a team that they know they should beat. I mean, Matt Turner didn't have that much to do in this game.
No, I look.
And that's a great sign.
Bolivia, wonderful country. I don't want to upset the Bolivian fans we have or the Bolivian people. Sardinas are very, very big part of my life. And I love llamas. But I think a Sardinia and a llama would have done better in your midfield than your midfield.
They really had. It's kind of wild. Look, Bolivia's in. It's interesting because I feel like Bolivia plays better when they're playing in Conmebol. And I've watched plenty of their World Cup qualifiers.
Because they play like 2 feet from the sky. That's why. They have an extreme elevation.
Maybe, yeah, that's what it is. And they don't have the, who's the guy that retired?
Marcelo Martins.
Yeah. Maybe we can confirm that's his name. I don't remember that. That's his name. I know it's Marcelo
I'll
something.
I'll look it up, yeah.
But I'm just saying, because you didn't even seem sure when you said it.
No, Marcelo Martins Moreno.
Moreno. Okay, yeah. That's why. That's why I was remembering the Moreno. Okay. And he's like one of the leading goal scorers.
No,
in
he's
like,
their historical. Their
but even in Conmebol, like he's like one of the highest goal scorers in.
He knows the bounce up in the sky. Like the ball bounce is different.
Okay, my man is in the clouds. Yeah. He just has an advantage.
He could.
So not having a player like that has been.
He could smell if it's a Boeing or an Airbus.
Oh, my man.
He's like, oh.
He's like, hey, a couple bolts are loose on that door. Yeah.
You might want to get out of that Boeing, but not till it lands.
So, like, the not
ooh,
having. Not,
San Jose. It's a good flight.
Not having a player like that, I think, is.
But they had time. You know, they had time to figure out. This is not a great team. They're not filled with a lot of quality.
I think it just speaks to the development of players and of the game and of the sport in the United States. And, obviously we have a couple dual national players, but a lot of these guys, you know, Tim Ream from, St. Louis? Where's he from? St. Louis, I believe. St. Louis. Weston McKennie from Dallas. Tyler Adams. Wappinger Falls, yeah. New York. Okay.
Yep. Anthony Robinson.
Anthony Robinson.
London.
From the streets of Brookline. Mm-hmm.
Brooklyn upon water.
So, but like, if you Chris Richards as well. Dallas. Products.
Click on Via Mill, right?
Via Mill.
Right there. And just like, all right. He plays for he plays for an Ecuadorian team on loan.
Bro, the names, this is just a side note, the names of the Bolivian teams are absolutely hilarious. There's a team called The Strongest.
The Strongest?
And they're Always Ready.
Yeah, Always Ready is my favorite. The logo's awesome.
I've never seen
but
that.
But The Strongest is perpetual Copa Libertadores team.
Uh-huh.
Like, they are Bolivar and The Strongest, always. Mm-hmm. We Are Ready? Great name. There's Bolivar.
Bolivar
is their biggest club at the moment. Blooming, okay.
All right.
Your friend Dale's, put that together. There's The Strongest.
There's The Strongest.
The strongest?
Bruno
Miranda. You got to say it right.
the strongest?
Apologies. It's like, leave it.
right.
Yeah, the right back is from Always Ready. That's a great name for a team.
Bro.
I want one of these kits so bad. It says car on it. Gloob Always Ready.
This is great. Yeah. I've never heard of this team.
No?
Gloob Always Ready.
Well, they were not. You might want to change the name.
They were far from.
Yeah. Diego Medina. Not ready.
Did you sign for unprepared? I don't know what club you play for.
He plays for club. One more minute.
he plays for club. Hey, slow it down a bit.
Club. Oh, we're doing this today?
No, they had no answers. I mean, the U.S. were just objectively better. And I liked that. Look, the goal was the first goal from Pulisic was great in the fact that you saw those first, like, especially 15 minutes. It felt like Marcelo Bielsa was coaching this team. Like, pressing, getting the ball. I thought that they took their foot off the gas in the second half.
They did. I think once that second goal came in at the close of the half, shouts to Falaron Balogun for scoring a beautiful goal. Gets the ball in space. What an angle he decided to take for that goal as well, which is wild. Just completely across the face, almost from outside of the six, which was wild.
I also love that Balogun, and I don't know how many strikers that we've had that were this good with both feet. But he's like, sometimes it's hard to tell what is his strong. I mean, it's clear, it's obviously his right foot, but not only does he take left-footed shots very well, but he also dribbles with his left. You see him, like he did this very, so many times throughout the first half, where he explodes with pace, pushing off on his right foot and dribbling with his left. So like defenders can't necessarily be like, oh, make him go left or make him go right. Like he will blow by you,
right?
Whichever direction you sort of want to allow him to go.
And also in his goal, and to give him credit, he did shoot with his left foot, right?
Yeah, that was a left foot goal.
Beautiful, well placed goal. I think what impressed me the most is his ability to see that he had space. The defender was like, well, I'm not going to close down on you because you're too fast. Kept tracking back. So he just took it to him. He just went at him. And that, to some degree, is something we have not seen in a while. We see it from Christian Pulisic. But I don't know if that's Ricardo Pepi's game. Ricardo Pepi's game is more getting in behind.
Yeah, he is not a he's not going to dribble around.
He's not a 1v1 guy.
No, not at all.
So I did see that from Falaron Balogun, which kind of gives you an idea why even if he's not scoring, he starts because he offers you so much more. But you said plus his ability to drive at defenders and just create. If he has a slight mismatch, bro, he's taking it on.
Yeah.
We just got to find a way to get in the ball, which brings me to the next point. The grade you gave, what'd you say, was an 8.0?
For the team, 8.2.
8.2. Crazy. Well, I work for One Football, so I'm going to go 0.002.
I haven't signed my contract yet. Yeah. Apologies, One Football.
I'm going to go with a One Football type score, and I'm going to say it was probably closer to a 6. 6.5, maybe. Let me explain why.
Okay.
The level of competition, we have a team that offered a little bit of pressure to our back line, a little bit, but in doing so created a lot of space in the midfield, created a lot of space in between lines, and we didn't take full advantage of it. I didn't see the ball go central enough. We were trying to win on the wings, which is, it makes us predictable. We stayed only going down the left-hand side. I get that Scally doesn't really offer you a lot on the right-hand side, but to create, like, part of me wishes that if we're going to have Joe Scally sit back, slide him over in a back three, let Tim Weah slide back a little bit, and then get McKennie in those mid spaces to help free up Gio Reyna. I didn't see that. What I saw was Gio Reyna damn near having a low-volume conversation with Tim Ream. That's how far back he was. And then why is McKennie doing the same thing with Balogun? Why are you up there, dog? And this is the third game in a row where we've seen this. Where McKennie's all the way up. But I'm like, I don't really understand what the process is here. If we're going to completely give up the central space in the midfield, are we just expecting to just continuously go down the wing and then just pepper in either slashing, cut in, and a sort of a diagonal pass back, or cross after cross after cross after cross across the face of the goal? If that's all we're going to do, we're going to be very easily found out.
I mean, look, I think that's a fair criticism as far as like what was happening centrally in the field. I do think, you know, Gio Reyna.
Is there a way to pull up Gio Reyna's heat map, Mike? Is there a way to find that?
I can look for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think they do it on this. I think Flash Score does it. But
look, I thought Gio Reyna had...
Even though he was on the left most of the
match. How many times did Giorena get fouled?
Yeah, he got...
He got fouled.
But also, they were like, what, when Valer and Balogun tried the Rabona?
Oh, yeah.
That's when Bolivia said, oh, some of us play for Always Ready. We are prepared to beat the crap out of you now.
Some people don't know. I play for I Got the Smoke.
Yeah. I play for Club Atletico These Hands.
So people need to chill out a little bit.
And you might want to look out for my boy. He's the strongest.
So I thought Giorena maybe was slightly affected by that because I thought he made a lot of good decisions in the midfield, but he was getting fouled quite a bit. I think he drew two yellow cards.
This is the, you know, since Colombia, Berhalter's been, and by the way.
Okay.
Hey, matching
same stickers as Berhalter. Shout out to Berhalter. Berhalter's been doing this.
Did he send
this.
Them to you? What did
no,
he say?
No, he didn't. But what, same saying? One. Shout out to him for having the wherewithal. By the way, you reminded me I have these sneakers, which is why I wore them. But imagine he did. I'm like, yeah, my boy Greg, Triple G. The reason I can't understand the reason why he would do this with McKenney so far up, Reyna so far back. You just split the lines. Like if you look at when Reyna gets the ball. He's like 35, 40 yards. Maybe that's too much, but whatever. He's a far distance away from the front line where I'm like, is it the style we want to play more compact? Like, you know, think of the Arsenals. Think of the Manchester Cities. You know, when Rodri gets the ball, when Kevin De Bruyne gets the ball, I would say Giorena is trying to be our Kevin De Bruyne, right? Making effective passes to our forwards.
Yeah.
If Kevin De Bruyne gets the ball, dude, he's not back where Gvardiol is. He's closer to Erling Haaland.
Right.
But Odegaard, closer to Saka, closer to Kai Havertz.
Yeah. But that's clearly not the information that Giorena is getting. He's not being told, or the command is not be like, yo, take the rock up for it. But also,
but that's his skill set.
I agree, because Giorena is better with the ball at his feet. We've all seen it. We saw the dribble that he went through at the Azteca and went through 29 Mexican defenders, and it was remarkable. And we sort of want to see more of that. But it feels like with this group of players, with that midfield, so McKenney, Adams, and Reyna, it feels a little bit like the. Distinguishing what everyone's exact role is going to be, especially between McKenney and Reyna, because I think McKenney and Reyna are similar types of players. And I mean,
of the rest of the midfield, yeah.
I'm just saying, it's like they make similar decisions with the ball. Yeah. They're very good dribblers. Reyna is better at moving with the ball, but Weston McKennie is no slouch.
McKennie's better at making that late run into the box, where I don't think Gio really wants to play in that space.
Exactly.
But other than that, I see your point. And maybe McKennie's a bit more defensive, where Reyna's a bit more creative.
So, is that what Yunus Musa started in the second half.
And looked great, by
And Johnny Card, even when Johnny Cardoso came in for the game, came into the game for Reyna, I thought he was like a little bit more up, like just closer to the box, and a little bit more.
Which is the opposite of what I would expect from Johnny Cardoso as well.
In general for this national team, it feels like Greg is not asking for his midfielders to contribute that much when it comes to getting goals. That like
seems crazy to hear you say that. No?
Maybe. But it doesn't mean that it's not going to work and you can, like that we can't find success, because what tends to happen in the final third, when anything is kind of happening, it's usually one of our forwards doing something, whether it's Balogun dribbling around, whether it's Pulisic.
Yeah, but okay, how many touches did Balogun have? Can you click on his face? Click on his face.
Damn, bro, why his face? Like, so specific.
Go down.
Touches.
There it is. Touches, 25.
25.
That's not enough.
I don't think that's that bad.
No, that is. That's pretty bad.
How many pay? 65 minutes?
That's pretty bad.
For a forward?
Yeah. You want to have more than that. You want to get, you either, and he was linking up play, so you're going to have a lot more touches, and you want to get a lot more passes to you in the box. I mean, he had six touches in the opponent's box, which is great. Probably some of them came in that one goal. But you got to be more, we got to find a way to get him to rock more. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But if who's going to get him the rock? It's going to be a midfielder. And it has to be something where there is like, you know, you look at just teams all over the world or even there are different clubs. And the midfield is usually a big part of, not even necessarily the buildup, but like, just even like a ball over the top that's going to get to some, like, we don't even try those kinds of passes.
I kind of hope we never do.
I'm just saying, but
I could see like a line breaking over the top, like a diagonal maybe, but like if I see Matt Turner start whipping balls out from the bottom, I'm going to be so mad.
The passes,
it's the dumbest. It's not even 50-50.
The
it's
passes,
stupid.
I mean, you can't see the mouse on the screen, but the passes that we tend to make are from the midfielders are
from
not
the word shots.
Yeah, are not coming. They're not coming through the D, the top of the D right there, right?
Right.
They're usually coming here at the ends of the 18-yard box on the corners mm-hmm. of it. So that's kind of what I'm saying. Like, we don't necessarily have a midfield threat that is going to send a ball that's going to sort of confuse defenders and somebody running in behind, whether it's a soft pass into the box or whatever, or something that's kind of over the top. That's not been our game. Our game is tends to be a strong wing play, strong fullbacks sending in crosses.
But it should
and
be.
Set pieces, bro. You
set
saw,
pieces. We
you
up
saw
now.
Pulisic.
Yeah.
They asked him, like, who are you pointing at after you scored the goal? He was like, the set piece coach.
We got him from Italy.
Okay.
He's the one that helped Italy win the Euros.
There we go.
Yo. You guys aren't going to take any credit for your JoJo Siwa recommendation from
bro,
last
that's
episode.
Next. Wait till you see that, bro. You're going to be, oh, my God.
That's what it is. I'm saying it's just like they know what the strengths are and what works. I mean, we play Panama. We play Uruguay. Are we going to all of a sudden change our game and going to do some wild, fancy stuff? No, it's going to be Anthony Robinson.
It's giving me a little hint of what Gareth Southgate's doing, which is playing scared. If we were a Bolivian team, we would be called not
if
scared.
If Greg made the substitution patterns the way Southgate does.
Like for like?
Like, or at least like a, you know, you have five subs and you use two.
Yeah.
And when you have these players and just, we get all the photos of Cole Palmer with his arms crossed. He's supposed to be cold. He's supposed to be crossing his arms because he's so cold because he just buried another penalty.
No.
But no, that's not what
we
we're getting.
Get nothing.
And look, the fact that even Tyler Adams started, I think it says something to, again, willing to take chances, willing to take risks. Again, these players.
He wanted to play more than 45,
too. Gio Reyna's not playing. He hasn't played a
Doesn't
full
matter. He's still our best midfielder in the attacking sense.
I'm just saying that's why you can't compare Greg to Southgate, because he's like, I don't care what these guys are doing at their clubs. We know what they do.
We got to come together for this.
Exactly. Yeah. And we sort of see that. And you saw the comments from Christian Pulisic that said I would run through a wall for Greg Berhalter. And the USMNT haters and the Greg haters, they'll be like, why is he saying that? You know what I mean? But it's like we interviewed Tim Weah just the other day. And they talk about Greg positively. It's like, wow.
They love him.
Why am I going to argue with their experience with this man?
I will say, though, you know, when you leave high school, your favorite teacher tends to be the one you didn't get along with the best, right? The one who pushed you the hardest.
Okay.
I'll say that. And the last thing I want to talk about real quick before we get out of the segment is, did you see the contract offer from Cincinnati, the rumored contract offer for Weston McKennie?
Yes, I did. Oh, wait, no, not the actual, like, a number or just the fact that he might be
I think
interested?
The rumor is, I don't know if this is substantiated in any way, shape, or form. So I heard word from one of my sources. Your boy got sources now.
Oh, bro. Sources? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I thought you only had sauces, but you actually got sources.
So I was at a Chipotle, right, and this dude was talking behind the counter. So one of my sources told me that Weston McKennie was being shopped around to MLS clubs. Mm. And that an MLS club was heavy coming in. So I was like, bro, that's kind of crazy. So the offer supposedly is $15 million to buy him. It's not a bad deal.
Not at all.
Not a bad deal from Juve. Juve clearly doesn't want him, right? Well, $12 million a year.
Wow, damn, bro. That's like, that's no joke. That's like
that's more than like most NFL players make, bro.
Bro, that's
I mean, it's deserved.
At the end of every month, a million hits your bank account.
Yeah, I mean, that tweet was going around. This is the one I saw from MLS Network. I guess they were quoting Christian Dyer as well, who reported it originally. And it starts the conversation of like, he's one of our best players. Why would he play in MLS? Like,
but can we talk about $12 million?
$12 million. You don't scoff at.
You ain't getting
million.
$12 million. That's about $250 a week.
Yeah.
You ain't getting that. You ain't getting that in Europe.
I'm surprised Cincinnati would even have that kind of money.
Yo, where you getting this money from, Cincy?
So that'd be wild.
Remember Miles Robinson got a higher offer from Cincy than he did from anyone in Europe. Yeah, he made more money going to Cincy.
Yeah, I mean,
are we at the point where MLS is playing too much?
Well, we're at the point right now because of FFP and stuff. We're seeing, Premier League clubs. I think June 30th is like the...
You like Chelsea's money laundering scheme? It's going pretty well so far.
Well, we're technically legal. It's your teams are scrambling. They're like, oh, we got to sell.
Listen, I'll sell you an 18-year-old for $10 million, and then you buy him back for $11.
It's bringing up questions about, like, these teams need to get financially solvent with these rules and stuff like that. And they, who knows how this is working, but it's like players are, they're going for, like, overinflated prices. Like,
did you see this kid Chelsea just got? Omari Kellyman, I think his name is. He was valued at $850K. Chelsea just bought him for $19 million.
Yeah.
Although that is the Chelsea way of doing business.
I guess. So now
Mudrik. Also valued at $800,000.
So, and you could spend $100,000. So it's sort of, you start thinking about, like, are teams sort of doing each other favors of like,
hey, you don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to get in trouble. How do we help each other not get in trouble?
Just pay $19 million for this kid. And, I'll get you on the next one.
Yeah, I got you, bro. Somehow that deal, though, helped both teams. I'm not exactly sure
how. Because Chelsea also sold Ian Mattson to Villa in, like, not a swap deal, but it was, like, at the same time. Yeah. So that has to be something with that.
So, yeah. So there's a lot of interesting stuff going on. Yeah. So Weston McKennie, my hope, because
do you take that? You got to take that. If you're Weston McKennie, $12 million a year, he's not getting that anywhere.
I don't know. He's not getting it.
He's definitely not getting crazy.
How much is Weston McKennie? We value him a lot.
I'll look it up.
Especially here on this show.
Yeah, even for Juve, they probably value him at a couple million. It has Juve to be like at least $5-6 million.
Juve is so broke, though.
Yeah.
Juve got no money. Juve need to sell players. So you knew. They tried to put him in their swap deal with Aston Villa.
Which I would have loved if he would have ended up at Aston Villa.
Nah, because they didn't want him at Villa. They're just taking him.
Okay.
But how much does he make per week? Do we know?
Yeah, 61,000.
Okay, 61,000. Do we think that he played well enough at Juve to go somewhere else and get a pay raise?
Yes, I do. I think so.
Okay, by how much would you say?
I mean,
something similar.
100? Maybe 80? 90?
More?
75.
No, like two.
I think 75, 80. Let's go
75
80.
75 is top end, I think.
Yeah. You're already getting like good numbers there, but let's go 80. You're at 80 bags a week, right? Times 52. So you're at 4.16 million. Since he's like, how about three times that?
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of money you, the kind of offer you need to make to sway a player to not take the 4 million that he probably has offers.
But you might have to cash out now, bro. You might have to be like, yo.
MLS, greatest league in the world, bro. It's going to be taking over the world.
They don't even look at me funny when I put ranch on my pizza. You feel me?
Okay. I'll buy all the ranch here. There won't be ranch for anybody.
Ryan Chiellini ain't here doing this behind me.
He's out there, arguing with Alexi Lalas.
Right? I almost have to tell him to stop putting ranch on stuff.
I wouldn't
if
be.
You're his agent,
I'm not mad
you
at
say?
Him. I'm not mad at him. If
not his agent, if you're his personal confidant.
Captain John McKennie.
All right, you're McKennie's dad now. No, if you're his confidant.
Yeah.
What do you say?
It depends what you value. If you like, I don't think, but here's
but
the thing.
This is
if he goes
career
to Cincy,
changing money. But if $12 million in 1 year.
You're right. But if he goes to Cincy, do you think he gets back to Europe?
He never goes back to Europe.
Yeah.
Exactly. For a fact. Unless he has a stellar World Cup.
Yeah.
Even then, bro, I don't know.
You got to cash out.
I just think he, for the sake of, we're talking about U.S. men's national team, and for the sake of the team growing and improving, him playing in, even staying at Juve, I think is better than him going to FC Cincinnati.
Sure.
And it's just really to cut his teeth and continue to grind out difficult seasons, getting difficult wins, playing against a difficult competition in high stakes.
Oh, you know.
And that's it. And for the sake of the national team, I'm like, at Cincinnati, it will not be the same amount of pressure We all know that, and you, and yes, you can, you know, it's not me saying pro-rel, blah, blah, blah. It is just simply that the similar amount of pressures, the pressure that you need to make diamonds does not exist in Ohio as much as it does in right. Turin. That's all I'm
saying.
Certainly
not at the same level.
Okay.
And also to keep your job. It's not. If someone's paying you $12 million, ain't no one...
Yeah,
ain't no one starting over you. You're, it's yours.
Without a doubt. Without
Even
a doubt.
If you walk in covered in ranch, it's yours. It's your spot.
Ranch boys, yeah. Let's go.
I hate ranch, bro. Ranch is disgusting.
All right, we got to go and talk some Euros and with the rest of Copa America stuff. So let's get right to it.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.
So we're about to get to the Euros, but real quick, we do
actually, can I interrupt? I just want to say a prayer.
I was going to say, we got some religion getting into soccer real quick at a Copa America. Very strange moment before the first game in Atlanta. I don't know if we want to play the clip or how.
Yeah,
you
let's play a little bit of it because it is straight up prayer. But they had a
is this the Latino?
Right, he's Argentinian. Which that's
so.
That's,
in so, his case, no.
That's debatable.
If you ask him, no.
So, well, but Copa America before kickoff, there was a prayer.
Was this on TV?
This was on TV. Everybody was very baffled and confused by this.
A way to remember that Atlanta is in Georgia.
Okay. You know? Pastor Marjorie Taylor Greene came out and talked about.
And smoked a vape and tried to hide it. Or was okay. that the other one?
No, she
that
did.
That was the other one.
That was the other one. She did. She was doing CrossFit while commenting on Jewish space lasers. Yeah. But
also, how dare you be asked to pay tip on tax of your $800 meal?
So they did a prayer. I just want to play a little bit of it to just show you how sort of odd the whole thing was. Because when you hear it, it's mad trippy. So here goes.
The tournament, the nations represented, the teams, players, and families. May your peace, your protection be upon all. In Jesus' name. Amen.
I was with him until
you brought up Jesus.
Yeah. Okay. And look, let me tell you now, both of our aunties and abuelas that they were watching, they was all in.
They were all in, of course.
There's a
certain demo that's like, okay, thank you.
You know the type of old ladies who just got rosaries in their hands the whole time?
Okay.
They like, oh, suddenly I like football.
Exactly.
You know?
They're just there to pray for Argentina, but then now the TV's praying back at them. Yeah. They're like, oh, okay.
Remember the lady who did that? She would have freaked out if she saw this. She would have been like, finally, it's being reciprocated.
So,
National broadcast?
A national broadcast just is right. He's in front of the referees. He is, and he just does his prayer. This guy's also been a contra.
What is B.I.G. Ballers in God? That's the account?
Thank you, Ballers in God. Thank you, Ballers in God, for capturing.
Thank you for allowing me to cook this individual.
But this guy is Emilio Agüero Esgaib. He's a pastor.
Of course, we're getting this from the New Indian Express.
But apparently he's has espoused kind of like homophobic and transphobic things, which is not too shocking.
An Argentinian pastor in Georgia? No way, bro. That's crazy.
Not that that's surprising, but the fact that it's like, it's one of those things, even like as comedians, sometimes we look at other comics and be like, yo, how'd you get that gig?
Right, yeah.
This is why I'm like, how did you get this gig?
How we have budget for that, but not a better pitch. That's crazy. That's crazy.
Wow, that anybody, this is CONMEBOL, this is CONCACAF. They were like, yo, this is how we need to start this tournament. Mm-hmm. This seems like a little bit of like, you know, You owe somebody a favor.
100%.
And it's like they have some dirt on you, so you gotta let this guy do this thing. He's like,
yo, my cousin's a pastor.
look, my
he's
kid.
He's with Techers and Jesus.
we can't say no to him, all right? His dad is just really important, yo, right? But he's investing in my company. Yeah. Can't say no to him.
This is wild. I mean, I don't like the bad mouth of the networks, but this is a capital F Fox right here.
I don't know who it may have not been the broadcast.
It's
generally a thing of just like,
Uncle Arthur seems like Arthur Blank don't seem the type to be like this.
Look, we're not here to mock people's religions.
No. In fact, if you're Christian, maybe you enjoy this. But think about everyone else.
But there's people all the time that are like, keep politics out of sports.
Yeah.
And blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then, but this?
Yeah. Like, yo, if you ask the player who just scored a winning goal and you say, hey, blah, blah, and he said all this, you'd be like, all right.
Yeah, yeah.
He loves God. And this is what he wants. But to start the match with, yo, our homie over here is going to read a few things from his favorite songs. You'd be like, maybe this ain't the way to go.
Is he whipping out the Old Testament? Yeah.
Who's the kicker who was like, women need to be in the kitchen?
Harrison Bucker.
He was probably like, man, I like soccer all of a sudden.
I love this sport so much. Yeah. This is crazy. I mean, it's just so wildly unnecessary. And then it's like, the closing is like, nah, don't get it twisted. Yeah. This is all in Jesus' name. Yeah. Jesus.
He says some good stuff. He's like, I hope all of you find peace. And we're like, okay. I hope all of you find happiness. I'm with you. In Jesus' name. What was that last word again? And also, yo, here's what I found out. Did you know that Europeans are watching American content for the Euros? It's become very popular for them to use.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because they sometimes don't like their broadcast.
They hate their broadcast because the Americans obviously are a lot more entertaining.
Sure, sure. No, this happens a lot with CBS.
Champions League, I think, is what got everyone like the dodgy box.
Yeah,
and
now
they're like, well, I'm going to watch this for everything. So I have friends that are messaging me like, bro, your shows are crazy. I can't believe this is what you do. I get asked a lot, hey, why do they do the national anthem before every game?
Right.
You thought that was crazy? How about baptism before the game, dog?
Bro, I had my communion before the 94 World Cup.
Yo, facts, bro. Yo, I was the moyle circumcised. I'm not even Jewish. Before a Mets game.
My breast.
on the bench stand.
My moyle? Oh, Mr. Mets.
Yeah. Yo,
okay.
Facts.
He's a good with a pair of scissors.
Even Miss Matt was a little, she was impressed. Yeah.
So this is unnecessary. I mean, I don't think that even really needs to be said. Don't know who approved this. Don't know how this is something that they thought was like a good idea.
But you know how like they also like in Europe, if they say the first kick is 3 p.m., yo, you 3 p.m., boop, whistle blows.
Exactly.
Here, you go 3 p.m. and you got to wait for like 10 more minutes, right? You put on the TV and this is what you see? You're thinking to yourself, this can't be the official broadcast.
Right. It feels like one of those, when you leave the TV on too long, and it becomes like a religious network.
There's like a one that's like, it's like the Bible version of QVC.
Right.
That randomly would pop on me like, yo, they sell how much holy water? That actually sounds like a good deal.
Bro, I didn't know that was a televangelist all of a sudden right before a game.
Yeah.
This is crazy. I mean, we're making fun of it. This is so unnecessary.
It's a little embarrassing.
I don't know. It's just, of course, and it's one of the things you clearly offend so many people by doing it.
Yeah.
And there's just no reward.
Or you just leave everyone out.
Right, right. And then some people might, maybe religious people might be like, Kaepernick can do that or whatever. And it's like, yeah, he can. I don't know what to tell you. He can do that. And it's like, you can be mad.
Yeah, they're not apples for apples.
Right,
this
right,
argument.
Right.
Yeah.
Kaepernick is not like, alhamdulillah. Like, he's not specifically talking about any religion or trying to prop up anything in particular. He's calling out, injustice. So,
right.
So that's a lot. We're cool with that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And even if
also,
you're not,
Kaepernick ain't grabbing the microphone before a game.
But he's not on a prayer rug and doing the whole thing. It's just so wildly unnecessary. I actually do not think this has ever happened ever in the history of this sport. If you can find me another instance.
I'll look it up.
This is so wild to me.
I know there were like chaplains that would bless the prayers, but they are the players, but you do that in the locker room, bro. You don't bring my guy out. How'd you get a microphone?
So incredible. All right. Let's move on to the Euros. And we've had a couple matches, obviously, since we last recorded on Thursday. I don't remember exactly where we left off because we recorded after some of the games happened.
We'd have to go over every result. Single one, let's just go recently. How about how bad Italy looked against Spain?
I just want to credit Spain. I think Spain are that good. And Italy are generally known as, like, defensive teams. And
I think they were hoping to change that, you know?
But, no, I don't think this Italian team is just good enough.
And who are they playing? They're playing Croatia today, right?
Yeah.
The lineups just got released. They changed everything. Their whole new formation, Italy, I'm talking about.
Okay. Yeah, we're looking at
Scamacca got benched. Two new strikers coming in. Darmian's playing right wing back now.
So this is, it's an interesting score. We're recording this right before the two matches.
Damn, hit him with the 3-5-2. You ain't going to score on us. Because I think they get through with a draw and an Albania loss.
Okay. So they're
playing. Or is that Croatia?
No, that's Italy.
Yeah.
They're playing it safe. Spain just looked that good.
Spain and Austria are the only two teams that play like clubs in this whole tournament.
Sure.
I'm impressed with Spain to the fullest. Was it you who said, how come we ain't talking about Spain a couple weeks ago? I'm trying to remember who said that.
I don't think so.
Somebody said, like, yo, we're not talking enough about Spain.
Just take credit for it, Christian.
Yeah. You really could have just been like, yeah. We're really not talking enough about Spain, but now we are.
Yeah, I thought, Nico Williams is
so good.
He's just
electric.
Yeah, that's the one thing. As far as that, like teams that at the Euros that look like not just like look like sort of club teams, but just look like confident and poised and really commanding games. I mean, Spain to me is that country and that team that just looks and then again because they have a lot of newer players. Like Nico playing in this tournament for the first time, Lamine Yamal playing in this tournament as well, and they just both look like they've been there for years and look really confident. And it also it says something about when we think of the Spanish national team, we think of like Barcelona and we think about like
that
style of play, but constantly. There's like just absolute sauce on some of these.
And also they're way more direct than they used to be. They're like, yo, go ahead and try to play us this way. We'll just beat you on the wings. We got Lamine Yamal over there and we got guy Nico Williams here.
Rodri's missing Nico the game, Williams. Right?
Spain changed their entire lineup. It's 11 new players playing. Oof.
Is it Dani Olmo?
Dani Olmo, Hossellu, Oyarzabal, and Ferran Torres. Yeah.
So I literally said on the show, show me Olmo, show me Oyarzabal. I'm glad that's happening because, by the way, this team is still good enough to beat Albania. Shouts to Albania. You played your hearts out, but this is still a tough team to beat, even though you have a completely new squad.
Did you see the
Oh, David Raya. How about that?
Didn't one of the Albanian players
he got suspended.
He got suspended two games for leading a chant that was like violently anti-Serbian.
Yeah.
And I think we were talking about it in the last episode, but like just the Balkan teams.
Yeah, it's the
just
Balkans
like
are like the Bronx. You know, there's a lot of
because it's really like, you know, you step on from one block to another.
And actually, and shouts to Youssef, who I had this conversation with. I just want to take a second to just clarify some of the stuff we've said on the show. Because you and I sometimes will be like, yo, white people, they ain't got no sauce, this and that. We're not talking about Balkans. I need y'all to know that.
I mean, generally, we don't. That's not generally the tone of like we're not calling out white people. We're not having sauce.
We never said something like that. Like,
joke a little bit.
Yeah, any joke. Yeah, yeah. We ain't joking about y'all, dog. We're mostly talking about the Germans. Balkans, y'all good with us.
Y'all keep it real.
Yeah.
So some controversy there, but overall, I think one of the bigger games over the weekend, yesterday, Germany, Switzerland yesterday.
Switzerland kind of better than I thought.
Yo, Switzerland. So the main reason I want to talk about Switzerland is because I mentioned this at the last Euros. This is a Dominican playing for Switzerland.
Bro.
My man, Ruben Vargas. Okay, the left midfielder, left winger for Switzerland scored a goal that was taken away by the
probably a Haitian judge the way y'all treat them
the criminal organization that is VAR and semi-automated whatever you call it, the offside line. So the
they probably want Elafa to retire, bro.
I can't put that. This is what they're trying to do. But Ruben Vargas scores a goal and it's taken away from by offside. We would have had a Swiss Dominican scoring at the Euros, and that was stolen from us. So I'm hoping Switzerland, I obviously stay in this tournament as long as possible because I want that man to succeed, Ruben Vargas. So shout out
to... Is he the only partial or fully Dominican dude in the Euros?
I believe so. Hey, I think his dad is Dominican, okay. But I believe he was born in Switzerland, so a Swiss mother. So, you know.
Dominicans get out there, bro.
We get out there, bro. Okay.
They be finding ladies everywhere.
Because this is, I don't know if you ever read the book. I know you didn't. The Brief and Wondrous Life of Oscar Wilde, which is written by...
Were you talking to me or the fan?
it's a great book. Who's the author? Can you look it up? The Brief and Wondrous Life of Wilde? Juno Diaz.
Say that title again?
Juno Diaz. He's a Dominican author.
Yeah, I know who Juno Diaz is.
And one of the book is about like a young Dominican kid growing up in New Jersey and sort of trying to figure out the like how to be Dominican but how to be American, and it's a great book. It won a Pulitzer or something. It's a great book. I always recommend it to people. But one of the lines in that book that I always loved was that the kid, he was young, he was like going through puberty, he was interested in girls, he didn't know how to talk to girls, he was nervous, and he spoke to his grandfather, and his grandfather said, "Don't worry, because no Dominican man can die a virgin." And he was like, that like, it eased his mind. Right. So he was like, oh, okay, I'm going to be fine.
And that is just a window into the culture.
So shout out to Ruben Vargas, who's definitely not a virgin.
Yeah, no. Unless VAR was there that night.
VAR going to ruin it. I mean, cock blocking.
Semi-automatic premature ejaculation monitor. Can you be in Dominican? Can you just read the name of the goalkeeper that made team of the week?
Yes, I can. Georgie Mamardashvili.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. From
what do you think the etymology of the last name is? If you don't know what Mamar is,
Mamar, yeah,
this I mean, joke is not that funny to
you. Yeah, yeah. It's all good. Look it up. Yeah. yeah. From Georgia. But yeah. This is
Does Urban Dictionary have a Duolingo?
Where are we at now with the what matches are left? There's a couple. There's obviously several.
Yeah, matches there are. Left. Yeah, I think there's only two teams that have actually qualified: Spain and Germany.
Well, Germany and Switzerland are now both in because they finished their group yesterday. But yeah, Spain is the only other team I think Switzerland, that's guaranteed.
So Switzerland, and
Portugal as well, guaranteed.
They were leading in that game and gave up a late goal to Nicholas Fulkrug,
yeah,
right?
Fulkrug.
Wow. I was so disappointed. They played so well. But again, because that goal was taken back from the offside, there were a couple other chances that Switzerland had against Germany. This was like a little bit nervy for Germany. I thought,
yeah, very much so.
I thought Switzerland played well. I thought Granit Xhaka is just like he's so damn good, man.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you, Mikel Arteta.
Yeah,
changed this man's career.
You know, he had that shot that Manu Norris stopped the left footed blast. I'm just like, bro.
Yeah, no, I mean, also Xabi Alonso. I mean, it's given him this confidence of like being like the
it's great
elder
to see,
statesman
man.
Leader in the midfield.
The other game that happened yesterday was Hungary and Scotland, and this was a 0-0 snoozer for the most part.
Some people have Scotland having no shots on target. Some people have them as having one.
Okay,
I'm afraid to look at one football.
Negative six shots on target.
Can we look up their score? No. Oh,
one football
God.
Is like Scotland should be annexed.
Hey, yo.
Damn, yo, harsh.
Okay, McTominay, you want to guess his score?
I mean, it has to be under two.
No, it's 3.0.
Okay.
But he has the lowest score.
All
right. 4.3s, 4.5s. We got a couple fives. 1.6 in McGregor. Oh, no, Billy Gilmore got a 6.5, who I think is like probably their best creative player, but I thought played pretty badly. Yeah, dude, their stats stink. They got, what, one shot on target? Do they have it? They have it as having no shots on target. Yo, one football is like, we play by the rules here. this is not easy. I don't think they got their shot on target until the 76th minute.
0.17 XG.
0.17.
Yeah.
That's how much a person gets, not a team.
Yeah, they were awful. Yeah, they lose to Hungary, so they're out.
If you're Steve Clark, you're done, especially after.
Yeah, after the post game comments,
we should ask Steve Clark about the prayer guy.
It's like we could have used them,
even though he doesn't speak the language.
So this was this makes some controversy because after the game, in the post match comments, Steve Clark, manager for Scotland, really just said something so wildly unnecessary and pretty dumb.
By the way, the tweet we're getting the video from also has a joke above it in case you get offended.
So, but I'll play it and we can all react to it.
It's a penalty. I do not know for the life of me why it's not given.
Have you asked about that and why it didn't go to VAR?
It's from Argentina. Why would I ask him? Probably doesn't speak the language. I don't know. Why is he here? Why is it not a European referee? It's a penalty.
Okay, so there it is. He's upset that a penalty was not called. And when she asks him, oh, what did the ref say about it? He's like, I didn't even ask him. He's Argentinian, which is like, obviously, you can't speak to those people, right? regardless of any language barrier.
Right. And I'm in two minds, right? Because like me as a human is like, yeah, how dare you say these things? Mm-hmm. But me as a Latino, I'm like, I kind of get it. Especially as a Caribbean, I'm like, they're not that easy to talk to sometimes. You know?
So
shout out to all my Argentinian. So owners, he says, but you know who you are.
He's Argentinian, you know, probably doesn't speak the language.
And why don't we have a European?
Why don't we have a
European? Why is he here?
Why is he, it's just so wild. Why is he here? Why don't we have a European referee?
Shouldn't he know that FIFA sends federation different, like other federations refs forever?
That's incredibly common. Yeah. It's not his first day here, right? Yeah.
He knows. He didn't take the wrong plane.
I was supposed to be at Copa America. Whoopsies.
Oh, wait, this isn't Dallas?
So he, but as soon as he says, like, why don't we have a European referee, as if in Europe Spanish is not spoken, is just a very silly thing.
By the way, you can't be more European and not from Europe than an Argentinian. They both speak Spanish, a language that originated in Europe, and two, we'll tell you they're Italian.
So there's no real excuse. I mean, this is just very much a deflection of, like, the poor performances from Scotland at this tournament.
Bro, and by the way, I've said this before, I don't want to party with any other group other than, not more than the Scots. Who I want to watch a game with, man. The Scottish fans are great. And in fact, they're so great, they deserve more than this. This was trash. This was an embarrassing tournament. Mm. You did not get into this tournament for this. Mind you, they could still qualify. But
how?
Yeah, they can. They could still finish in, what, third?
No, they can't.
No, they have.
If Hungary didn't score that last second goal, they would
have a chance. Yeah.
My bad. Then I must the infographic I saw must have been before that. Man, my sources. I got to go to a different Chipotle. Scotland was embarrassed. They should be fully ashamed of the tactics they used. The players deserve better than this. The fans deserve better than this. Steve Clark, for all the positives, for the, you know, the amazing atmosphere around the qualifying, you didn't qualify to do this.
Yeah.
This ain't why you got in. Yeah. This is embarrassing.
That was really. There was another thing. I wish I don't have it queued up, but did you see that there was a clip that somebody used from from Michael Timms, in Germany,
working for Fox.
So it's great to see. He's like the correspondent out there. And there was a game in England, I forgot against who they played, but like the fan zone area where all the English fans were, they left it completely filthy. It was just an absolute mess.
It was versus Denmark.
Denmark. They left it just a complete mess. It was utter just sort of destruction, trash everywhere. And somebody used that clip of Timsy showing how like messy and filthy everything was as to why European countries shouldn't be allowing immigrants in. So it was like a xenophobic post, but they used this moment to try to make this very xenophobic point. And it's like, it's the English were the ones who left the place.
Yeah, I was going to be like, you're trying to get the English not to go? Usually it's the other way around.
So, they already left. They're not even in Europe.
Yeah. Again,
we don't let them have boats anymore. You guys are good.
So, again, all this, like, keep politics out of whatever. No, the people want to bring politics in the game, and they use it in a sinister ways to try to make a point. So, absurd. All right. So, A lot more Euros matches coming up. We're actually going to, for Copa America, we're going to be at the Argentina-Chile match at MetLife tomorrow, which is going to be
cool. We are guests of Lionel Messi.
Okay. Yeah, crazy? I mean, he called us directly. But no, that, so that's going to be a lot of fun. The anything
Look
else?
Look out on our socials. We're going to be posting a lot from the game.
Yeah. So go check that out. Anything else that we may have missed?
I mean, just a quick like shout out. The striker for Hungary yesterday who had to be stretchered off the field with a serious head injury is awake and like responsive, apparently.
I believe so his name is Varga.
Barnabas Varga.
Yeah.
He apparently had a couple fractures, so
yeah.
It looked like it was serious there for a while, but yeah, the last I heard that he was at least in stable condition.
Yeah, he's responsive too. He's awake apparently.
I did see that because I was watching the Germany game, so I didn't see that.
Did you know that they were upset because in England, but I don't know if people know this, it's the, everyone is using the same feed,
mm-hmm.
right? So no one has anything different. No one's sending different cameras. It's all the same. Like FIFA has the company they hired and everyone plays that. And then you just add your pregame, postgame and all that, all your commentators on top of that. They replayed it. And people in England were very upset and offended that they replayed the collision.
The injury, yeah.
And it's like...
Well, yeah, there's no way...
It's not like you saw, like, there's no blood, you know what I mean? There was no bones sticking out. It wasn't like, yeah, they were smart enough to pull away from it after so you don't show them on the ground.
Sure.
Or getting medical help, you know what I mean? But I think everybody can relax a little bit. It's not like it wasn't whatever that broadcaster is. It's not their fault.
Right. It's not intentional.
Yeah.
They're not
trying to make it like, you know, what's the term I'm looking for here? Like, you know, sensationalize it. It is what it is.
Shock television or whatever.
It was a collision that happened. You show the replay once and that's it.
Sure. So the new Faces of Death or whatever. Like, bro, that's not what it is.
They did add this out right before they showed it, which I thought was... And then maybe
that was like probably a little bit much. All right, so let's wrap up there. Obviously, a bunch of Euros matches coming up today, as we're right before we're recording right before those games happen. A bunch of Copa America stuff. So we'll have a lot more to talk about on Thursday. And shout out to all the Metal Arc fans and Levitard people and all everybody who's shown us a lot of support. We'll have more to say on Thursday, but this is the final week before we join Yahoo. So I just wanted to lay the groundwork. Just to thank everybody for the welcome and the support. And we're
really excited
about
Yahoo, man.
Yeah, we're excited about the future as well. So all right. So let's wrap up. Make sure you subscribe here, right here on if you're watching on YouTube. And like I said before, nothing is generally changing as far as like how to get the show. So, the people subscribe to the podcast feed, people watching on YouTube, everything stays the same. If for any reason you do not, you look at the feed and you do not see us anymore or whatever. Some people also listen to us on the Levitard and Friends feed.
Yeah.
So make sure you subscribe to our feed as well so you don't miss out on episodes of the show. So if for some reason you do not have access to it come next week, again, just go... Look up the Cooligans podcast on Spotify or Apple, wherever you get the podcast, and hit the subscribe button there if there's any issues. But we'll be back on Thursday with another new episode. So we'll see you then, everybody. Cuídense.
Love you guys.
It's the Cooligans, we've come.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.